Portents of Fear is a horror fiction podcast which is intended for mature audiences. Discretion is advised. Welcome, Fearlings, to another weird and horrifying tale made just for you. I am your host, Mashulu, and I'll be your guide into the macabre and mysterious. Tonight's story makes us wonder if we can trust our senses in Eyeless Stare. Before we get started, take a moment to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single terrifying story. The nightmare began with a frantic phone call from his sister Kate at 3 o'clock a.m. Luis's parents had burned alive in a huge house fire. The funeral was full of tension. Luis's wife Anne looked at her watch every 5 minutes. She didn't deal with emotion well and never really got along with Luis's family in the first place. Kate felt like she was being disrespectful, and Luis had to run interference all day. Meanwhile, he knew what the real issue was, why his sister was on edge. Sure, she thought Anne was a cold-hearted jerk, but it was their father that Kate was thinking about. The last 6 months of his life, he had become abusive. He would rave about a thing following him. He'd black out and not remember what he had done, but refused to get help. They begged their mom to leave him. She wouldn't. Several weeks after the funeral, the fire department report was released. The bed was set on fire with Luis's mom still in it. His father was found a few feet away. It was all too much. Luis went into a deep depression. He didn't tell Anne about any of it and made Kate swear not to tell her. He knew Anne would leave him. Anne was cold. She had life goals and she wasn't going to let emotions, family drama, or mental instability get in the way. She did love Luis, but she loved her work more. He was expected to keep it together. To her, people made choices. Luis's mother could have left, but she didn't. That was on her. Anne wasn't going to feel sorry for not wanting to waste a whole day at a funeral when there was work to do. 1 year after the funeral. "Wake up! Time for work," Anne said while prodding Luis with an aggressive index finger. "You can't be late." Okay, I'm up. Jesus," he sat up. "I had a strange dream, like someone was watching me. Ever have that feeling?" Luis threw the covers off and got out of bed. She was right, though. He had a marketing meeting on the third quarter's earnings reports that he was running. "No," she replied flatly. She was already dressed in a pencil black skirt, light blue blouse, and black heels that Luis felt were too high for office work, but did make her look amazing. He tried to hug her, but she walked away. "I'm going. We're talking to Corton Technologies about their case today. I'll be home around 8. She headed for the door. "Okay, I'll have dinner ready." "No need. Isaac and I'll grab something while we work." Again? Luis had been hearing that name a lot lately. "Yes, he's a partner in the firm. We work together, and I'm not a fan of the jealous tone. Bye." The door shut. "Love you," he sighed. As Luis showered, his mind wandered to the strange dream last night. It felt like someone was watching him. Or was it a something? The feeling had started after the funeral. He'd started going to therapy, something he hid from Anne for fear of what she'd think. Luis thought about his father. Not the man he had become the last 6 months of his life, but the one who raised Luis. The two would go to baseball games, watch movies, and talk all the time. His heart hurt thinking about those times. None of it felt real. The water had gone cold. It had been 45 minutes. Stepping out of the shower, he saw something on the floor behind the trash can. It was the shiny gold edge from a condom wrapper. His heart sank. Anne was on birth control. They didn't use condoms. In the bedroom, he started pacing. "It's Isaac. It must be. She spends all her time with him at work, and I guess in our house when I'm gone. Is she leaving me? We haven't had sex in at least 6 months, but she never wants to talk about it." He became agitated, and then he thought he had caught a face watching him from the corner of the room. But when he looked, there was nothing there. His phone rang. "Hi, Luis. Where are you? The meeting was supposed to start 10 minutes ago," Helen, his boss, asked. "What time is it?" 10:30. "Are you okay?" "No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm sorry. I'll be there in 15 minutes. Please get here. We'll talk after the meeting." "Yes, I'm sorry. Leaving now." He threw on some clothes, shoved the condom wrapper in his pocket, and ran out the door. At the office, he launched into his presentation, apologizing profusely for his extreme tardiness. It went well, and Luis sighed in relief. Afterwards, he went to Helen's office. He hoped his presentation would make her less upset. "Please, Luis, sit. You did great in there as usual, but you've been late more often. Now, I know you lost your parents, so I'm willing to be flexible if you need more time. But if you say you're going to be here, I need you to be here, Helen said calmly. I know, and I'm so sorry. Thank you for the compliment. I will be here on time from now on. I'm going to hold you to that. Now, I don't mean to pry, but you sounded upset on the phone. Everything okay? I think Anne is cheating on me. Oh, that's horrible. Sorry, I shouldn't dump personal stuff on you. I'll deal with my private life on my own time. Helen sat silently thinking. She liked Luis and wanted to be helpful, but also didn't want to cross a professional line. Helen was a tall, muscular woman with dark brown skin, light brown eyes, and braids that went down her back. Her features were stunning, and she would often catch men staring at her. Luis never did, though. He always looked her in the eye. She liked that about him. Luis thought Helen was a fair boss, never asking anyone to do anything she wasn't willing to do herself. She never raised her voice. She just commanded respect through her vibe. Luis looked up to her. Maybe that's why he told her about Anne. He wasn't sure. She recovered from her initial shock. Jesus, Luis, you drove to work with that on your mind? We could have rescheduled, she said. It's okay. I'm okay. I don't know. I'm trying to keep it all together, to be honest. He felt eyes on him from the corner, but nothing was there. He ignored the feeling as best he could. Luis, no, that's not... We don't need to talk about this. I shouldn't have told you, really, Luis said as he squirmed in his chair. Luis, I know we only have a professional relationship, but I think we respect each other. I agree, he looked at his knees. My job, as I see it, is not just making sure the company is doing well, but that my employees are doing well. This kind of news would be a blow to anyone's mental health, and you know it. I think you should take some time off. He felt like the eyes in the corner were now closer. It felt like someone was right next to him. He looked. There was nothing there. I don't want to go home right now. I need the distraction. I need to figure out what I'm going to say. How do I even ask? You've never met Anne. She's hard to read. Plus, what if I'm wrong? I can't just accuse her of cheating. What proof do you have? I found part of a condom wrapper on the bathroom floor, Luis said. She's cheating. God damn it, Luis folded into the smallest version of himself possible. I'm sorry, that was harsh. Maybe I'm wrong. Helen felt she had been too personal and tried to adjust. No, you're right. I knew it when I saw it. I don't want to go home and sit in an empty apartment and think about what she did with him. If you want to stay and work, I understand. But if you need to leave, let me know, she said, smiling. Thank you, he said while quickly leaving. That was awkward, he thought. He went back to work. He was lucky to have his own office. While typing, he felt it again. Something was watching him from the corner. He looked, and there, just for a moment, was a creature with a white, wax-like face. It had an unnerving grin and two black pits where its eyes should have been. The creature's body floated a full 2 feet off the ground. It had no legs, its torso was covered in gray rags, and it had four skeletal arms. Luis screamed. His coworker Rob rushed through the door. Are you okay? Luis was breathing heavily when he looked back to where the creature had been. It was gone. Yeah, I'm fine. Sorry, I need to head out. Can you let Helen know? Tell her I'll call her later. Yeah, sure, man. You sure you're all right? Rob inquired. Luis just nodded as he headed out the door. Luis called his therapist from the elevator. Hello, Connie. I need to see you right away. He arrived at Connie's home office 30 minutes later. Connie was Japanese in her late 60s and stood about 5 feet 4 inches tall. She had long white hair that she put up in a bun and sported colorful, large-rimmed glasses. Her office had a glass sliding door that went to the backyard. Thank you for working me in, Luis said as he took a seat. Of course. What's going on? Where to start? Anne is cheating on me, and I saw a weird creature that just stares at me. Then he proceeded to explain everything. Connie wrote in her little notebook. When he was done, she put it on the table and paused for a moment. Normally, I'd say you should talk to Anne. Find out exactly what's going on. Communication is key. But we need to find out why you're seeing this creature. You say the last time you saw this thing was in your office, she asked. No, it's outside your window right now. He pointed to the sliding glass door. Connie turned and looked. There was nothing there. I don't see anything, Luis. I think you need to spend a day or two at a hospital so we can run some tests. It's important we pin this issue down. I can't do that. If Anne finds I'm seeing a therapist, she'll leave me for sure, he protested. Anne doesn't know about any of this? Connie asked, surprised. No, she's not good with emotions. She thinks therapy is for broken people, Luis replied. I see. We'll need to unpack that later. For now, your well-being is my main concern. You need to be at a hospital so we can find out what's going on. Who's your psychiatrist again? Dr. Giorgio, he replied. The entire time, the wax-faced creature stared at him with an eyeless gaze and a contorted smile. It never moved. What if I'm just seeing things? No one just sees things. Sure, you might see something out of the corner of your eye for a second, a trick of the light, but that's not the same as seeing a creature. We need to find out what's causing these hallucinations. It could simply be stress, but we need to run tests and observe you. I'm going to call Dr. Giorgio and get his opinion, okay? She asked. Okay. An hour later, Luis checked into the Silent Springs Medical Center. He called Helen to let her know he was going to be out for a few days. He didn't say why. He left a message for Anne saying there was an issue at the Wisconsin plant and that he had to go. He wouldn't be back for a few days, and he'd stay with his sister Kate. He wasn't happy about lying, but he didn't see Anne understanding. That night, after the blood tests and dinner, he called his sister to let her know what was going on. Hey, I'm staying with you right now if Anne calls. She already did, and I told her you hadn't arrived yet. You need to call me before you lie to your harpy of a wife, snapped Kate. Stop. Why do you have to be so hostile towards her? He responded. I told you from day one she's no good. She's cold. And now we can't even bring up what really happened to Mom or Dad around her? You can't even tell her you're on medication? She's terrible, and you deserve better. She's my wife, and we love each other. You're her doormat, Kate replied. She had enough of Anne. Look, I don't want to argue, Luis pleaded. And that right there is your issue. Look, little brother, I know you think you caught a big fish in Anne, but she has the personality of pond scum. Big boobs sag, good looks fade, but bitch is forever. Kate, please, it's been a long day. I appreciate you covering for me, but let's stop arguing. He loved his sister, but she always came on too strong, like he wasn't an adult. Why am I covering for you? She pressed. I started seeing things, and my therapist and doctor want me to be observed. Holy hell, are you okay? Yeah, I've felt like the problem all day, he said. Kate sighed. You're not a problem. You're a good person. And being depressed and having anxiety isn't a character flaw. The fact you hide it to hang on to Anne is, well, insane. The depression and anxiety are not what I'm worried about. What if I'm like Dad? He had that shift in his personality and was never the same, he asked. You're not. He wouldn't get help. You are. It's going to be okay. What if he had schizophrenia? What if I do? What if I start blacking out? His tone began to wobble. It was all too much. That's a lot of what ifs, little brother. Let's see what the tests say and go from there. Just because Dad had issues doesn't mean you will. You're not a perfect copy of him. Whatever it is, we'll work through it. You'll be okay. Also, you need to tell Anne about all this. She's not worth your love if she can't love all of you, Kate said gently but firmly. I know. I just don't know how. I gotta go, he replied. Call me tomorrow. I love you, idiot, Kate reminded him. Love you too, jerk. He hung up. At midnight, Luis bolted upright in bed. He felt its unyielding stare. His heart pounded fiercely when he finally looked at it. The thing gazed at him from a moonlit corner. Luis froze. It slowly floated towards him. Tears poured from Luis's eyes. Its waxy white face never changed expression. It still had that tortured smile and eyeless stare. It came within an inch of Luis's face. Luis could see nothing but an eyeless abyss. It felt like he was falling into them. There was something familiar about it, like he knew this thing. It radiated hate. Luis blacked out. He woke to a man entering his room. Hi, Luis. I'm Isaac. We haven't met yet, but I'm banging your wife, he said with a smile. What the hell are you doing here? Luis's blood boiled. No need to get angry, friend. Just checking in on you. I wanted to say thank you. Your low skill in the bedroom has Anne thinking I'm a god. Did you know that she can have orgasms for, like, hours? Of course you didn't. I can drive her nuts. The room started to spin. Luis was starting to lose control. He'd never been this mad. Now that you're in the loony bin, she's mine 24/7. Isaac's words were drenched in smug superiority. Luis flew from the bed, crashed into Isaac, and started beating him senselessly. His fists landed with explosive force. The sound of bones breaking and screaming rage alerted the hospital staff. Three nurses rushed in to restrain him, plunging a needle into his neck. Luis collapsed. 3 months later, Luis sat in court. Isaac was never in his room at Silent Springs. The whole interaction was a hallucination. He had attacked a nurse named Peter and almost killed him. Though the tests were inconclusive about what was causing these illusions, he was sure it was the same thing his dad had. He pleaded guilty to battery and waived his right to a trial. Helen had to let him go. He could tell she didn't want to, but her hands were tied. Anne ghosted him, ignoring his calls. After a week, he gave up. She was a lawyer. He was sure she knew all the details. Kate flew out several times. He could tell she was worried. Luis was the last family member she had. He told the court about the hallucinations, his parents' deaths, and that he needed help. He apologized to Peter and his family for the attack. He felt so ashamed. He wanted to be put away until he knew it would never happen again. The judge agreed with him and was merciful. She concluded that Luis would be better served in a state mental institution rather than prison. He was given 3 years. Arriving at his new home, he was asked to speak with the head of the facility, Dr. Birch. "I know this is your first day, but I'm afraid I have some bad news." The doctor passed a folder to Luis. "What's this?" "I believe it's divorce papers. I'm sorry to have to be the bearer of bad news." Luis had known this was coming. He knew she would leave him. There was a letter. "Luis, it seems like your years of violence have come to a head and you're where you should be. I thought I was the only one who knew your rage. I wish I had been brave enough to stand up to you, but I wasn't. Because of that, you've hurt someone besides me. I've left the details of your behavior out of the divorce papers, but if you do not sign, I will be forced to say something. Please, if you love me at all, never contact me again. Serve your time, become a better person, and pay your debt to society. Once, I loved you, and that love is why I'm not going to take this further, but again, only if you get help. All the details are below. Goodbye. Anne." All the color drained from Luis's face. How could she lie like that? It doesn't matter, he thought. It was over. Nothing to do but let her go. "Again, I'm sorry, Luis. I've been divorced twice. It's not easy." "Do you have a pen?" he asked. Dr. Birch paused, wondering if a pen was about to be used as a weapon. He'd been in more than his share of tussles with disoriented patients. "Yeah. Here." Luis signed it. With a wave of the pen, he was divorced. "I finally lost everything," he thought. He got situated to his new life at the facility, going to sessions, taking tests, and downing pills. It was like he had been reborn into a life not his own. It all felt alien. The creature would appear every night, staring at him. One night, after 6 months, he had enough. "What do you want? What the hell could you want? You come here every night. Why?" he yelled. It did nothing. It just smiled and stared. "You're not real. I know it. I'm not going to let you ruin my life anymore." It just kept smiling and staring. "If your plan is to kill me, do it already," Luis demanded. It didn't respond. It just floated there. Luis snapped, jumped out of bed, and ran headlong into the creature. It grabbed Luis easily with its forearms, keeping him at bay, then vanished. Luis fell to the floor crying. He had tried ignoring it, but those eyeless holes bore into him. He had to tell someone. He needed help. "That's it. Everything since the day I found out Anne was cheating on me," Luis said. Dr. Murphy wrote in his notebook, "Why not just tell us that you started seeing the creature again? It's been in your room every night?" "Yes, every night. I attacked it last night and it disappeared. It's real. I think it's what was haunting my dad," Luis explained. "You don't know what your dad was going through mentally, and guessing is not going to help. We can't help you if you don't tell us everything." "I know. This creature is a hallucination. It's a manifestation of your guilt for not saving your mom, your parents' deaths, losing a father you idolized to a mental breakdown, and your ex-wife's infidelity. It's all tied together. I promise you it's not real, even if it seems like it is," Dr. Murphy said. "No, you're not listening to me. It's real. You just can't see the damn thing for some reason. But it's right next to you," Luis pointed. Dr. Murphy looked. There was nothing there. "No, it's not. See?" The doctor waved through the creature. It shimmered for a moment. "I would have hit it if it was real. What you are seeing is just in your head, Luis. Look, this was a good start. We'll build on the work you did today." Dr. Murphy closed his notebook. I knew you wouldn't believe me. I believe you see a creature, but I know it's a hallucination. I promise we will help you, the doctor assured him. And so it went. Every day, Luis went to therapy, and after a few months, the creature finally disappeared. Dr. Murphy was right. It was all in his head. 3 years of his life were gone. Just days before he was released, Helen visited. She had been to see Luis several times to give support. It was nice having a friend. She listened, never passing judgment. In the end, he told her everything. Hey, you look good. It's the final week. Are you excited? She asked. Yeah, but also nervous, to be honest. I'll be starting from scratch. Well, not completely. That's why I'm here today, she said with a smile. What do you mean? How would you like your old job back? I don't know what to say. Are you sure you want me back? Yes, a lot has changed. I'm now the CEO, the company has grown, and I need your experience to take things to the next level. I know you're the right person for the job. Luis was full of excitement. It was the first good news he'd had in what felt like forever. Yes, thank you, Helen. You're amazing. You're welcome. Oh, here, she handed Luis an envelope. It's a signing bonus. Help you get back on your feet. Call me when you get settled, and we'll get you into your new office. Again, thank you. It's more than I deserve. You need to stop thinking that way. You deserve this. She shook his hand and left. He couldn't believe it. In fact, he waited to see if the creature was going to appear. The creature is not real, he repeated to himself. He moved into a small apartment and started rebuilding his life. Luis even got a cat he named Senor Snuggles. Things were good. Another year passed. Luis was working late at the office, looking over files for the next project. Suddenly, there was a knock on his door. Helen stood at the opening with a concerned look on her face. Anne is here. Do you want to talk to her, or should I send her away? It's okay if you want to send her away. What? I can send her away. You don't have to talk to her, she said. No, I'll talk to her. A few moments later, Anne walked in. She had changed. It had been almost 5 years. She looked tired, like the last 5 years had added 10 years to the bags under her eyes. He wasn't sure he would have recognized her if they passed on the street. Anne, it's been... Why are you here? I'm sorry to just appear after all that's happened. I wanted... No. Have to apologize. She continued to stand by the door. I'm so sorry I cheated on you. I'm so sorry I wasn't there for you. I'm so sorry I served you divorce papers I knew you couldn't fight. I'm sorry I lied in that letter. Jesus Christ, I've been carrying this around for years now. I've made so many mistakes. You were the best person I've ever had in my life, and I messed it up. She walked a few steps into the room. Isaac left me. He started sleeping with his assistant a month after we moved in together. She sat down across from him. Tear-driven mascara trails ran down her face. I can't accept your apology. I loved you with all my heart, and you betrayed me. As for Isaac, if he was willing to sleep with a married woman, did you really think he'd be faithful to you? She looked away from his gaze. I understand, and you're right. What I did was unforgivable. I just had to let you know that I was sorry. She stood up and walked to the door. Not looking back, she continued, I didn't know what we had till it was gone. That's on me. Enjoy your new life, Luis. Then she was gone. That's when he saw it. The creature was in the hall across the way, its eyeless stare boring right into Luis's soul again, mocking him. Luis went into a rage. Hijo de puta, he screamed as he bolted into the hallway, punching the creature straight in its grinning face. It fought back, clawing at his flesh. Luis didn't care. He kept throwing punches at the grinning horror's wax-white head until a crack formed down the center. Blood was cascading from dozens of wounds all over his body, but the adrenaline fury fueled his attack. With one final punch, he broke the creature's face in two. There was nothing behind the mask. Its gray, rag-covered torso fell to the floor. Two arms grabbed him from behind and pulled him away. Stop, Luis, stop, Anne screamed. Luis finally stopped attacking. What have you done? I'll call 911. Luis started to calm down and looked at the creature. It had changed. He looked closer. It was Helen. She lay on the floor, gasping for air. Blood sputtered from her lips with each strained breath. I'm sorry, please. I thought you were... Please, God, no. Anne, hurry, Anne. She's dying. Tears streamed down his face. There was a gentle tapping at the window. He knew what made the sound. It's not real. It's not real. God, please help me, please. Helen grabbed Louise's hand. She tried to say something. Helen, don't try to talk. Help is coming. I'm so sorry. Finally, he looked up. The creature floated just outside the window. They were 10 floors up. Its hideous, eyeless, wax-like face stared back at him. He knew what he had to do. Grabbing a nearby letter opener, he ripped his eyes out. Anne screamed, "No!" as he plucked them out of his skull. Time passed. Louise sat in a room, glasses covering his eyeless stare. Helen met Anne at the door to Louise's room as she watched him. Any change? Helen had evidence of the attack scrolled across her face. No. The doctors say his brain is functioning normally. He just won't respond to stimulus. Whatever happened that night, it broke something that won't heal. She turned towards Helen. How is physical therapy going? Slow. Can't wait to ditch this cane. Have you talked with Kate? I'm not her favorite person, so I keep my distance. I know she was here yesterday. I need to ask, after everything, why come here? And why are you nice to me? I drove him to this. Luis is my friend. He needs me. As for you, I don't think you made this happen, though you didn't help. I also think you've changed, so I'm giving you a chance. She looked back at Luis. I can't help but feel like you both need a friend right now. I appreciate that. She looked back at Luis, just sitting in a chair, not responding to the world around him. Helen continued. I believe Luis was attacking whatever was haunting him, not me. I watched him tear his eyes out when he stood up. Then he lifted them up in the air like an offering. It's burned in my brain. He didn't scream or flinch or anything. He stood there, eyeballs in hand. That's when I passed out. Helen looked back to Anne. While he was in the hospital, he told me that he hallucinated like his dad. He said there was a creature or ghost that taunted him every night. I think they were both being haunted by the same thing. When his dad died, it moved to Luis, she said with confidence. Anne looked at Luis again. She wanted to know what he was thinking. She replied to Helen, I just remember screaming when I saw what he was doing. Everything else is a blur. You really think a ghost drove him to do all this? Yes. Otherwise, they would have found his eyes. Wow, I didn't see that coming. Tell me, do you think ghosts are real? Be sure to tell us in the comments. If you liked this Portents of Fear tale, consider joining our Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Want more horrific stories? Click on one of our other episodes on your screen now. Good night, Fearlings. Sleep well, if you can. Wow, I didn't see that coming. Tell me, do you think ghosts are real? You laughed. You like the delivery on that one?
Yeah, I did.